Well, it's a pleasure to be in the house of the Lord tonight. thank Brother Jason for giving me the opportunity to stand up here and preach the Lord's Word for a little bit. I've got a few points I'd like to hit on. I'll try not to keep us here too long. In fact, I might finish a little early, so if we do, we'll just fellowship for a minute. if you've got your Bibles with you tonight, can I have you turn to Ephesians chapter 2? We're going to be reading in verses 8 and 9 to start us off. All right, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 say, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house tonight, God. I pray for those that are hurting, Lord, and sick. I pray that you heal them, Lord. I pray that you put that hedge of protection around us as we go and evangelize to the lost, Lord. I pray that you help us soak up the content of the message tonight, Lord, and just pray that hearts and minds be cleared after the service, Lord, and all concerns are answered. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I've got a couple points I want to hit on tonight. The reason I started with this is because this pretty much lays our basis of salvation out. I've talked to a lot of my buddies, maybe from other denominations and such. And we talked about the fact that good works do not get you into the gates of heaven. And that's been a contentious subject for us, but I'm going to try to clear it up here in a few minutes. So what I will say is, when you look at, for grace are ye saved through faith, right there it lays it out. Without faith, there's nothing. If you can't trust what has been done for you, then why should you reap the benefits? I understand why some people think that a free gift of salvation is something that is just outlandish, and it is, because none of us deserve it. But when I'm talking to these people, you know, that are questioning their salvation or just coming up and questioning me, the easiest thing I can tell them is, I can't tell you what your relationship is with God. The only people that know that is you and the Lord. I can tell you based on what the Word says, and I can help guide you how to get to that place. But as far as me giving you confirmation of your salvation, there will be things after you are saved that will prove that. You become a new person. You become a new flesh. You die to self daily. Like the symbolic meaning of baptism, you die and you're resurrected as a new person. Again, baptism doesn't save you either. It's just a outward showing to everyone of what Jesus did for us. Along those lines, back to what I was saying is, if we can't trust what was done for us and step out on faith, and let me tell you something. If you've got something that's keeping you from having a good relationship with the Lord, it's time to get it right. I'm young. I'm only 20 years old, but I can see a lot of the stuff, you know, end time prophecy starting to unfold. You see a lot of stuff going on in the world. You see a lot of evil becoming good. And we talked about this the other day when Preacher Jason was talking on the subject of homosexuality. That's the honest truth. I mean, me going through high school, this stuff's trying to normalize this stuff. They're trying to make you numb to the realization that this is sin, and people just choose to ignore that. And it is honestly true. I mean, you look at facts of, you know, abortion. That's one of them things that we all know is very wrong. Yet people are trying to make it seem like we're the bad people for thinking that you shouldn't be doing it. I mean, good is becoming evil, and evil is becoming good right in front of our faces. So if there's something that you got between you and the Lord's relationship, it's time to get it right. There's a reason that the Lord said nobody will know the day or the hour, because if you knew the day or the hour, you'd just wait till the last second to get right. That ain't the purpose. That is not the point of salvation. The whole purpose and point of salvation is living your life for the Lord, being an outward showing to your brothers and sisters. It makes a big difference if I go over here and talk to so-and-so and tell them, hey, I'm a Christian, I love you, I go to church, you know, I'll try to help you in any way I can. But then I go over here and I would say change to the type of person I'm around. You're not showing what you're preaching. And it really is, you gotta show what you're preaching. If I'm telling somebody something, then the most impactful thing that they can take away from that is the way I act. If I go over there and act a different way than what I'm telling them, why would they want to be like that? Why would they want to listen to somebody that can't even do what you're trying to tell them to do? So I really liked what Brother Jason hit on the other night, is sometimes we just got to check ourselves. And you know, that's kind of like what the Pharisees were doing. My first sermon I preached on the Pharisees, but it's because this is becoming very common. And I'm standing right here with you. I do the same exact thing, and it's just a fleshly thing. So we got to try our best to fight it. But if I'm standing here with somebody lost in front of me, and I'm trying to act like I'm better than them because I know the right way, or that holier-than-thou mentality, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. That is not the purpose of Christianity. I need to step out of love and tell them that what Jesus did for you, He did for everybody. It's not just me, it's not just Him, it's you too. And that's the hardest thing for me when I was becoming a preacher and learning, you know, some of the deeper stuff about the Bible and its beliefs, is that no matter how far gone you think you are, no matter how bad the things you are that you've done are, you're not too far gone. He died for everybody. But I will say this, you don't have to go here, but I want to also hit on the fact of going back to, if we knew the day or the hour, everybody would just wait till the last second and then get right. Right here, you don't have to flip here again, but in Hebrews it says, in Hebrews 4:7, again He limiteth a certain day, saying in David, after so long a time as it is said, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. That's another contentious subject that I've had to talk with some of my buddies about. They think that you can just say, oh, I'm saved now. You can just up and decide like, hey, I'm saved now. The Lord has to come to you. You have to get to a point of conviction and understand that we deserve hell. Everything that is given to us and that Jesus died for, we don't deserve any of that. And Jesus did not have to do that. Everything He did for us is a blessing. All the Lord has to do, actually, He don't even have to do this, but this just shows you His grace, is knock on your heart one time. That is enough. I mean, we should be thankful for one time. Any other time after one, that's just extra grace to you. That just shows you how merciful our God is. But it also goes the other way. God does have a deadline. And me and Brother Jason have kind of had that discussion a little bit, but once you get to a certain state of mind, like right here, harden not your hearts. If your heart is hardened when the Lord comes to you, then of course you're not going to accept Him. Of course you're not going to understand what's going on. And that's what I tell people, you know, people overcomplicate it sometimes. It is just as simple as you understanding what was done for you, you accepting what was done for you, realizing that Jesus did not have to do that for us, and accepting the free gift to us. And, I mean, I understand why that's a hard thing to get a grasp of as a lost person, because there ain't no free gifts in this world, hardly. I mean, it don't make sense for somebody to die for you and everybody else in the world and everything that they've done, and it be a free gift, and all you have to do is accept it. I understand why it's hard to accept. But that just shows you how thankful we should be for the things that have been done for us. I mean, if we do these things, and like it goes back to, let's say I'm telling you that I'm a good person, and me being a good person and doing these good things, We are instructed to do those things, okay? But that does not get you into heaven. If, you know, you've got to understand the whole length of torture and the whole length of beatings and mental torture. I mean, Jesus lived here as a man. He came down to live on our level to understand how we see things and feel things. He lived a sinless life. We can't go 10 seconds without sinning. We can't go one single day without sinning. He went years without sinning. So you're going to sit here and tell me that you're a good person? No. My Bible says none are good, no, not one. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm a good person, okay? What I need to compare myself to is Jesus and Jesus alone. I'm not going to sit here and go find somebody else that's a worse person than me or somebody that's lost in some sort of sin that I'm not stuck in, that I think I'm better than them. That ain't the purpose. That is not the purpose. There's only one person you should compare yourself to, and that's Jesus Christ. And once you understand that we will never, ever be on His level and everything that was done for us we didn't deserve, then you're on the right track. Then you're understanding the purpose of Jesus and the Christian life. And I'll give you another piece of scripture here to reference the don't waste your time. The day is now. This is Romans 13 and 11. It says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believed." I want to tell you something. So when I was younger, I went to a vacation Bible school in Virginia. This is a very, very common testimony that I hear. I went, everybody else was getting saved. All my buddies went, some of my family members went. I saw that they were getting saved, and I was, I think, maybe 10 or 12. And they're all going up there and getting saved. Well, at that time, I didn't really understand what had been done for me. I didn't really understand what I was accepting. That is why I stress the importance of understanding and knowing your moment. Because if I don't really know, then that the devil is going to... They don't call him the author of confusion for nothing, okay? They don't call him that for nothing. Any little thing he can pick up on, he's going to pick up on it. He sits there and watches everything you do, and the second you doubt or fear or anything, he capitalizes on it. That is what he does. So I'm sitting there at Bible school. Everybody's getting saved. Well, I thought it was like, you know, a popular thing to get saved. I thought it was, okay, I want to be like everybody else. I want to be cool. I want to go up on stage and tell everybody I got saved. So I went up there and tell them, you know, I'm saved. But deep down, I didn't really understand what had been done for me. Deep down, I didn't understand what I had accepted. And biggest thing of all, I didn't know what followed after salvation. There was no change in the sins that I was doing. There was no change in my personality towards other people. And that was the biggest sign to me that I hadn't really been saved. So back about a couple years ago, I had been praying about it, you know, because I had been having some dreams and stuff that was convicting me about it. Well, I ended up just praying to the Lord one night. I said, just knock on my heart one more time. If I'm not saved, just knock on me one more time. And we'll see how it goes. Well, I go back to my home church down in Globe. I don't know if any of y'all know where that's at. It's down below Grandfather Mountain. But I grew up in that church, went there pretty much my whole life. Well, I had been going to a bunch of other churches, and I just happened to go back to that church. I can't remember. It may have been a homecoming. But I went back to that church, and let me tell you something. By the time we finished singing, I was shaking so bad that, I thought I was going to tear the pew apart. That's how real it is. That is how real it is. Ask and you shall receive. I mean, if you have something in your life that you have a contentious problem with, or a sin problem with, or maybe a salvation question, just ask. Just ask. It's that easy. And I know that sounds crazy, but it's that easy. It's the easiest thing. God made it so easy, and He made it so easy that the devil will pick up on the fact of it being so easy and go tell people, well, that can't be true. That can't be that easy. There's no way. But it is. It's that easy. So anyway, I'll get back to my story. I'll hurry along here. But I was obviously bawling my eyes out. I pretty much run up to the altar. Well, as soon as I hit the floor here, two more come. And then I think there was maybe a third one. And we're having a good old time at that point. I mean, he pretty much quit preaching. Everybody's just, you know, just living in the Spirit. And that day, it sealed the deal. I mean, it sealed the deal. And I you know, now I have a time and a place that I can take you back to and say, I was saved this day right here. And I know for a fact. And another way that that's a good thing to do is when that devil comes knocking on your heart and says, well, what if you weren't? What if? Nope, I know, because I have my day and time and place that I know he accepted me. I think maybe four or five people got saved the same day. And then, I mean, this church, I'm talking, there's maybe six pews in the church. I mean, it's a little tiny church. And the Spirit, when he's moving, he's moving. I went up to Mount Victory last weekend, and or maybe it was 2 weekends ago. We didn't have a preaching service. We started singing, what was that song? The Name of Jesus or something like that. I can't remember the exact name or name of the song, but we didn't even have a preaching service. That song started playing, and I'm telling you what, it was like the Holy Ghost just shook the church. He come through there and shook the entire church. People start running up to the altar. People start praying and hooping and hollering. But you wonder why things like that are hard to come by. And I'll tell you one thing. We have got to separate ourselves from our fleshly desires as far as the worldly temptations and stuff like that go. Like, I did a little study on Brother Jason and the Lord's Supper and the dangers of taking that if you're not right with the Lord. Our Lord is a graceful and merciful Lord. But He also, you know, he there are consequences to the things that we do. Once you accept Jesus in your life, there should be a change. And that, I think, going back to the main point of the sermon here is works. I think people get confused because when you say that there should be a change in you, you know, deep inside and outwardly towards people, you know, maybe giving to charity, just being a good Christian-like brother and sister to everybody, they turn it into, well, if you're not doing nothing good that I can see, then you must not be saved. That's not what it is. What he's saying there is, after you, all it takes to be saved is faith. We've been there. Now, next to the next segment, there should be things after you are saved that show that you had a change. If I do something, right? If I do something and tell somebody that I'm not saved, but I do a good thing, right? Or a lost person does a good thing. That doesn't mean that they're saved. But as a saved person, they should be able to tell a big difference between a saved Christian and a lost person. There are a lot of Christians nowadays, I think, that they kind of get aggravated at other people. And I understand that because it's hard not to get aggravated. That's what the devil wants. The devil wants you to get aggravated, get fired up. He wants you to go out there and, you know, preach that fire and brimstone. But while that is good and dandy, I think we need to be preaching the love of the Lord. We need to let them know that the Lord died for them. The Lord has been there for them since day one. They want to have some sense of peace. They want to have some sense of love that they have never had before. And that I've talked to several people that have been questioning it, and they don't know what it feels like to be touched by the Holy Spirit. And if you're a saved person, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know exactly how it feels. You know exactly what the thoughts are going through your head. And it is so hard to explain this to somebody that's lost. So the only thing I can revert to is what the Word tells me. Because if I'm telling you, if we both trust in the Bible, and this is people maybe from, like my buddies from other denominations or stuff like that, and we might have a slight disagreement, I'll say, I'm just going off of what the Word tells me and how I read it. If I'm trying to get saved, the Lord come down and made it so simple that all I have to do is for grace, okay, you are saved through faith. Jesus had the grace to come down here and die for us so that we could be saved through faith. That is what that's saying, okay? And it's the devil will try to twist this stuff. He'll try to change it every which way he can. And we need to really be conscious and aware of some of the battles behind closed doors and battles that he's trying to fight internally. Because I think he's switching things up a little bit. Like I said, good's becoming evil and evil's becoming good. It really is scary. I mean, I like how Brother Jason put it the other day, is Jesus knew he was going to the cross for us. He knew that he was going to die. He was going to be beaten. He was going to be dragged. He was going to be cursed at. You know, if I found out that I was going to go to the cross the next day to go die for a bunch of people that are committing crimes, living in sin, doing this or that, I'm going and hiding somewhere. I'm not going to go up there like Jesus did and accept the fact that's why he came here. That's why he died for us. I'm not going to go up there and be proud of the fact that I just died for a bunch of lost sinners. But that's a fleshly thought. That's a fleshly thought, and I think that's the way we get sometimes. And it's easy to do that. It's very easy to do that. So I think we need to try our best not to get to that point. Like I said, the thought of this stuff is scary to a lost person, because when they start realizing that these things are true, or they feel the Holy Spirit, or even a saved person, there's been times in my life where I'm scared to death and I know where I'm going just because of the things that's going to come, just because of the things that's laid out to us in Revelation. I mean, this is stuff that it's like out of a movie. But you've got to understand, if you believe one thing in this Bible, you believe the entire thing. It ain't one thing here, one thing there. It's the entire book. So if I believe that I'm saved by faith, then I also have to believe that everything in Revelation, everything from Revelation to Genesis is also true. I think that we need to be prepared for what is to come. That being said, as a saved person, we don't have to be scared. We have nothing to be scared about. I'll hit you with this. In Isaiah 26, verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." That's just one verse. But when I was studying over this sermon, there was so many verses about peace that I couldn't have wrote them all down in this notebook right here. He really, really, really wants us to know that you can have peace. You can have no fear about what's coming as a saved person. And it goes back to the original thing. I know I sound like I'm repeating myself, but it's this important. If we know a time, a place, a day, there is no doubt 100% that we are going there and we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to be scared of. And I'm just thankful that we serve a God that even gives us the opportunity to be saved. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you right now, Allah can't save you. These other gods can't save you. The only person that can save you is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other. And you can't come to the Father except through Him. These people that are believing in this other stuff, they are so far, like, the devil has them so hardened, has their heart so hardened, that I understand how hard it is to come up to these people and talk to them. Because sometimes you look at today, you have no idea what somebody's going to do. If you go up there and threaten their religion or threaten their false idols, it's getting to the point where people are getting physical. But you want to know why? Because that the Lord's conviction starts knocking on their heart as soon as you mention what they're in the wrong of. And the same thing happens to us when we're saved. It is so hard to go out and talk to people these days. And I know, because I mean, I'm a young person, and I don't want to know what I'm going to see in my lifetime, to be honest. I really don't. But I don't have to worry about it, because I know that I'm sealed. I'm delivered. So whatever happens to me, I do it in the glory of God. And whatever happens after that, it's up to the Lord. So I guess I'll try to leave you with that little piece is there's no need to be afraid. And I think a lot of the issues today stems from people being afraid. I think people start, you know, understanding maybe that there is something else. Maybe that there is something farther. And I saw this a lot in high school. And I'm guilty of it too. And I'm trying to do better every day. But if I see somebody that I know is lost in a sin that I know is going to send them to hell, or they're just, you know, and it's really hard not to let your flesh come out and say they're too far gone. They're too far. There's no way they're going to accept what I'm about to tell them. But our job is not to convert them. Our job is to plant the seed. As long as we do our job, the Lord's got it handled. The Lord will do as the Lord wants to, and I have to trust in that. It's really hard not to let your flesh want to overtake it and get tore up. Like even me, I've talked to people, and they just don't want to receive it at all. I mean, they have nothing to do with it. They don't want to hear anything about it. And it's hard not to get down in your feelings and think, why did I even do that? That was stupid. Like, that did nothing. But, again, that lean on your own understanding. It's hard to understand those things because we don't understand things the way God does. We never will. But that's the reason why you have to trust in the Lord. You have to give it to Him. But also do as he told us, you know. Go and preach to everybody. Go and evangelize. Go save your lost brothers and sisters. And the testimonies of people talking about having visions of seeing, you know, somebody they knew and didn't tell them about the Lord or anything like that, and seeing them when you're standing there in the gates of heaven and you're walking in and your friend's behind you about to be sent to the gates of hell and says, why didn't you tell me about this? That hits hard. I mean, me personally, I feel like the blood is on my hands because I know if I am so sure that I'm saved, then I should also know that I have something I'm not trying to hide. I have something I want to give to everybody around me and everybody I know. I don't want nobody to die and go in hell, and neither does God. That was the plan from day one. The plan is for everybody to go, but not everybody will accept it. Not everybody wants to accept it. And that's just the truth, and you see it all the way at the beginning of the Bible, all the way through. There's always somebody that will not trust the Lord or understand in His works. And I understand. I was lost at one point. I've been in church my whole life. But the way the devil tries to creep in your head is one of the... It's pretty scary sometimes. Because these things that you know you're having issues with, or these things that you know, he'll get in that head, he'll say, you know, things like, you're doing this, why would the Lord accept you? This person's so much better than you. You tell that devil, it is written. You tell that devil, the Lord tells me here that I have salvation through faith, that I have His power for trusting in Him. Faith can move mountains. And it really helped me when I started standing on the Word. When these temptations or these things would come about where it could have been easy to go the wrong way about it, or it could have been easy to, you know, get in the flesh. You got to understand, if Jesus acted the same way that we do towards other people, we would never have the opportunity to be saved. We would never even touch, not even hear about this. Because we are a people, and it's the flesh. When you get something so good that you know that you didn't deserve it, or it was a free gift, or it's just like people that, you know, win things or stuff like that. They don't want other people to have it. And it kind of becomes this self-righteous, well, as long as I go to heaven, that's the only thing I need to worry about, is me going to heaven and that's it. Well, let me tell you, that ain't the right mindset. While you should be worried about yourself, I am almost more worried about other people, because I'm seeing the way the world goes. I'm seeing the way the school systems are turning. I'm seeing the way the politicians are turning. I'm telling you, this stuff's getting real, and it's scary. It's scary how real and true that this word is proving itself to be. And if you're a lost person and you're watching the things that's going on in the world and you know anything about this, you'll understand that a lot of this stuff, you can't deny it. You cannot deny what's going on right now. There will be nights that I'll sit there, or there's even been times that I've been going through a rough patch, or I've been struggling with some kind of fleshly fall or a sin or something like that. And it just goes back to the salvation thing. Ask and you shall receive. If I'm standing there and I say, Lord, help me with this. Help me with getting over this. You're telling me that faith can move mountains. I'm trusting in you. And I'll tell you this too, because I've heard this from other preachers, and they've told me this. If you are not living for the Lord, if you are not doing things that you should be doing, and you ask the Lord to answer a prayer when you need something, and you wonder why it never happened or why it came true, because you're not living for Him. If you're not doing something for me and you want me to do something for you, I'm going to do it because I want to do that for you. But most people would say, no, you didn't do that for me, so I'm not going to help you out. Listen, if you ask for these things, you can receive it. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I am saved, I'm going to heaven, I have nothing to worry about, and then tell you that, no, you're not good enough for it. No, you can't have it. Because that's not the truth. Anybody and everybody can have it. Everybody that He died for can have it. Every person that has ever come to live, He died for it. Okay? And I'll tell you something else. The God of Genesis is the same God of today. He don't change. He don't waver. And everything that He promised us, God never breaks a promise. When He tells us He's going to do something, it happens. You can trust and lean not on your own understanding in the Lord. I mean, how many times does the Bible say, fear not? I did a little devotion over here for the youth thing one night, and that's what the Lord drawn me to, is He wants us to know that we do not have to be afraid. If you know that He is your Savior, if you know that He came to die for you and your sins, then what do you have to be scared of? We should be going out here, and I know it's one of them things where you go out here and talk to somebody and they get violent, and anymore it gets to the point where you might start thinking about, you know, am I in danger? And is my life in danger? But what you got to understand is, look at the people that tried to teach the nations about Jesus and how they died. If I go out doing something for the Lord, hey, I did what I was told to do. If something happens to me while I'm evangelizing or something like that, then that's the way the Lord meant it to be. And the Lord will take care of you for that. So I really feel like we need to put on that shield. We need to go out there and talk to these people that are blinding the youth, or blinding these lost folk, and just, you know, tell them, you know, the Lord loves you. The Lord died for you and me. The Lord died for everybody that has ever committed a sin. I know some of my buddies do the prison ministry. They and hopefully when I'm 21, I'd like to do that too, but they've been talking to me about it some, and man, some of the testimonies they tell, it's amazing. I mean, it's amazing. These people that, if I wasn't a Christian and had heard what they had done, I'd say there's something wrong with them. Like, they have done something so bad that I can't even fathom, like, what I just heard. The biggest thing that I have struggled with probably is understanding that no matter what you've done, no matter how you've treated people, what you've done to people, it's a hard pill to swallow, I know. But we have to trust what the Word says. If somebody comes up to me and I know that they have done something that would be, in my eyes, horrible, and then they say, how do I get saved? I'm not going to sit there and tell them, you can't. I'm not going to sit there and tell them, your good works weren't good enough. That's not what I'm going to say. I'm not going to say that the bad things that you did, they weren't good enough, or even the small good things you did weren't good enough. None of us are good enough. Jesus is the only one that's good enough. That's why we don't, He was the Lamb. We don't have to sacrifice animals anymore because He was the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God. His blood, that is why the blood is mentioned so many times. That's why it's so important, because without Jesus, there's nothing. Without Jesus, we're nothing. I mean, I try to see myself as a nobody. Honestly, if I'm trying to go talk to somebody, I'm not going to sit here and say, "Well, I know what's right, so I'm better than you," or I know what I have. I'm not going to give it to you. No, I'm going to sit there and say, "Let's have a discussion," and I try to hear them out too, because what I got to understand is not everybody grew up in church. Not everybody knows the same things I do, and I don't know the things that they do. Everybody is different. Everybody has a different background. Everybody has went through something different in their life. So when I'm talking to buddies or people, I try to understand that if I understand one thing some way and tell them that and they portray it another way, I can't get aggravated. I can't get mad, because I'm leaning on the Lord and His understanding and the words of the Bible, which I attest to being true. Somebody that thinks this is just a book that you just read, we're not gonna agree on everything. But where you get them at is you hit them with something like this. You tell them, "I was once a sinner. I was bound for hell. I had no chance of any kind of, you know, mercy, grace." Because if you don't believe in the Lord, what do you really have? What do you really have? You live in this world, you do your sin, you feel no remission of it. The devil, why would things go bad in your life when you're sinning? When the devil wants you to do what he wants you to do. If you do have chastisement as a sinner, it's because you've been saved in your sin and the Lord's telling you, "Hey, it's time to get right." But if you're a lost person and you're living in sin, why would anything go wrong? The devil ain't going to mess with you. You're doing what he wants you to do. And I had to understand that too. I'd do things and be like, "Well, why is nothing bad happening? You know, I'm doing this that I know is wrong, but nothing's bad's happening." And I finally had a preacher come up to tell me, it's because the devil, he fights what he fears. If you're doing what he wants you to do, he ain't going to fight you. He ain't going to do nothing. He's going to let you just do whatever you want and keep you from seeing what's really going on. And I think that's happening to a lot of people today. I think that their hearts are so hardened that they refuse to believe anything. They you know, they'll say, "This is against my rights. This is against this or that." When really, we're just trying to help them get to where we are. But again, I do not expect to go tell a lost person about the Word and them accept it 100% of the time, because it just don't happen like that. It just does not happen like that. There's been times that I knew I planted a seed by something as small as saying just a little thing, or even asking a question. Even something as simple as one of them witness cards. I keep those at work. If I can hand that out to somebody, I can at least, when the Lord asks me, "How did you try to reach your brothers and sisters?" I can at least say, "I tried to do this. I tried to do that." Now, I understand that it's really hard to do that 100% of the time. It's really hard to do that. But I think we should push to be a more fruitful Christian, be a more standing on faith Christian, that regardless of the situation or you know, maybe your surroundings, just going in there and tell them how it is. Just going in there and being honest with them. You know, I have brothers and sisters, and I have family on my dad's side. I have family on my mom's side. I don't want to see any of them go to hell, but I'm not going to prioritize them over somebody I don't know. If I'm only trying to help the people that I like, or if I'm trying to help the people that I think deserve it, I'm not doing my job to the fullest. I'm helping people, right? But I am limiting that to who I want it to be. I think that we should go out there, tell these people, the Lord loves you. The Lord wants to save you. I'm not standing here. I'm not holier than yet than thou. I'm just trying to tell you. I don't know if you guys have heard that song. It says, I'm a nobody just trying to tell everybody. And that's honest truth. I'm standing here. I know what I have. I'm not trying to sell you something. I'm not trying to scam you out of something. I'm trying to give you something that's real. I'm trying to give you something that you can feel and understand and reap the benefits of. So I kind of jumped all over the place. but let me get back to the main theme here. Number one, we're saved by faith through grace, which we did not deserve. We cannot do too many bad things and be too far out from God's salvation. While I say that, there is a time limit. One day the Lord will come back, and I don't want to be standing here doing some kind of sin that I know is wrong when the Lord comes back, because how's that going to look? So if I'm trying to be right with the Lord for when He comes, just try to be right all the time. Because it makes so much sense once you understand it. We were never given the time and place because we would never live the life that we were told to live. And that's the honest truth. That's what the Lord knows that. That's why He did it the way He did. Don't waste your time. And the peace from salvation. I've preached, I think, maybe four or five sermons now in total. I preach at a church called Liberty Grove twice. And both of those sermons were kind of along the lines of peace. Because I see a lot of people stressing. I see a lot of people that are just tore up about what's going on. And I understand. But we don't have to be scared. We don't have to be afraid of what's to come. As long as you know you're right with the Lord, there ain't nothing on this earth that should scare you. So I guess I'll leave it with that. Again, I thank Brother Jason for letting me stand up here again. My nerves are not as bad as they used to be. That first time I stood up here, man, I was about to shake the pulpit off. But is there any prayer request or anything like that on anybody's heart like to pray for? Okay. Sounds good. We'll pray for him. For sure. Thank you. I appreciate it. Appreciate all y'all coming tonight, too. Thank you, guys. It means a lot when you come on Wednesday.